Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. The time is now 1:35 p.m. We're in Belts, room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the nation's most beautiful sunny capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. Members present are Senator Ray Jackson, Senator Merrick, Senator Yunt, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Senator Dunbar will be along shortly. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Welcome everyone to Senate Labor and Commerce. Please turn off your cell phones and join me in recognizing our recording secretary, Carrie Tupo, and our LAO moderator, Susan Quigley. We have two items on our agenda today. First up is Senate Bill 150, Net Metering Program and Fund. And then second will be Senate Bill 218, Tax, Electric Co-ops, Generation and Storage. First up today, Senate Bill 150. With us to present this bill, we have Curtis Thayer from AEA. Mr. Thayer, thank you very much for joining us today. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your presentation of the bill.
All right. Thank you very much. My name is Curtis Thayer, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority. And let me get this going. Couple things just up front is the Alaska Energy Authority has a lot of programs and services. We owned assets, the Bradley Lake Hydro Facility, Alaska Intertie, the Sterling to Quartz Creek Transmission Line, as well as we recently received a federal grant for the Cook Inlet Power Link, which crosses from Nikiski over to what will be crossing from Nikiski over to Beluga. We also oversee the project, the Power Cost Equalization Program at about $47 million, and it affects 81 electrical utilities and about 81,000 Alaskans. We also, with Rural Alaska, do bulk fuel upgrades and rural powerhouse upgrades, and also do the circuit rider and emergency and electrical emergency assistance. In addition, we do have renewables. We are currently, our biggest projects are the home energy and high efficiency rebate allocation at $74 million, and also the national electric vehicle, which is at $37 million. We also have grants and loans. Many of you are familiar with the Renewable Energy Fund. We're just also doing the Rail Belt Transmission Organization. It was a piece of legislation the legislature passed 2 years ago. And so actually today we are in RCA hearings with our 14 other interveners on moving that bill forward. But what we're here today is more about energy planning. And what came out of the Energy Task Force? We had a task force in 2023 of 20 Alaskans. We met across the state and looked at ideas, over 60 recommendations. HB 307, which gave AEA the new board and the RTO, came out of those recommendations. And we've looked every year since to look at other recommendations that we should or could move forward for the legislature's consideration. And net metering program and fund was one of those opportunities. Let me see here.
For the record, while you find your place there, I'll note that we've been joined by Senator Dunbar at 1:38 p.m. We'll take a brief at ease. Back on the record now.
All right. Thank you.
139. Mr. Thayer.
Senate Bill 150, summary. The program structure is pretty simple. It establishes a net metering program for the railroad utilities to incentivize renewable generation. It integrates behind-the-meter renewable generation by purchasing excess power from consumer generated. And credit issues monthly for excess energy supplied at the rate the consumer would pay for the purchasing of the same power. The rate flexibility, utilities may set specific net metering rates, including seasonal or time of use options within a tariff. That would be a decision with the RCA. And clarify, such rates and credits do not violate utility statutes on discriminatory rates or unreasonable preferences. It also would be with the consumer benefits. It would be monthly credits provided for excess generation supplied to the grid, and it would have an annual offset of the energy purchases being used for accruing credits, and the credits would expire or reset every March 31st. That way it allows for more of the full calendar year and summer usage using that power or selling that power into the winter. It grandfathers systems that were installed before 2025, so it's not for new. If you have previous generation, it under prevailing tariff terms. And then it also would establish a reimbursement fund, and it creates a net metering reimbursement fund administered by AEA to address potential revenue shortfall. And then also subjects to appropriation, the RCA regulations for fund covers eligible revenue losses that would otherwise increase rates. And basically, cost causer is the cost payer. And so if there's cost with this program, that this reimbursement fund would help offset those costs. So the utilities won't, and other members of the utility won't be paying for buying back some of this power. So it's just the cost causer, cost payer program. Just for a quick sectional analysis, it's not a long bill by any stretch, but it allows utilities to set specific net metering rates and issue related credits in tariffs without violating the discrimination undue preference statutes. And the net metering itself establishes in Section 2 the net metering program under the Alaska Public Utilities Act, and it grandfathers, again, anything installed prior to July 1st, and it includes grid protection. Utilities may limit participation for reliability or to prevent unjust rates, again, a subject to the RCA with RCA oversight. Permits railboat utilities to recover eligible revenue losses via the AEA reimbursement fund, and directs the RCA to adopt regulations for calculating the eligible revenue losses. It defines key terms, including consumer generator and electric reliability organization. And the reimbursement fund establishes the net metering. A reimbursement fund is a separate non-dedicated fund consisting of appropriations, gifts, and interest, and designates AEA as the administrator and the fiduciary of the fund, similar to what we do with the PCE, and authorizes payments to the utilities for revenue losses based on RCA regulations and statutes. And it gives this effective date. The bill was introduced last year, and the effective date of July 1st, 2025. And where this came from, it supports the governor's priorities, but when we had the task force that completed its work in 2023, it directly related to a strategy of B2, Alaska policy recommendations, and that was the area to focus on energy affordability, reliability, security, and reliance. And it advances to strengthen the net metering. This is one of the recommendations of energy framework for the tariffs and regulations to promote the net metering and renewable energy investment. And then also it enhances policy tools that spur and sustain renewable energy and transmission development to cut energy costs and really advance economic prosperity in Alaska. And that's the bill in its entirety, and that happens to be our staff in its entirety.
Senator Gray Jackson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. But where's Karen? And you're in the staff photo.
Oh, Karen Bell?
No, Karen Turner.
Oh, Karen.
Yeah, this is staff. I'm just being funny, but serious at the same time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
She was on a cruise.
Okay. For the record?
Yeah, for the record, she was hunting with her husband.
Senator Yunt.
Yeah, through the chair, has there been any letters of support or opposition from local utility companies into this legislation? Where's MEA, CEA, and others at with this?
They are, I think, through the chair, I think it's best to say we've had conversations with all the utilities, and I think that some of them are reserving until they see a final product of the bill. They do have different net metering programs, And this one is a little bit different in the sense of the reimbursement to the utility. But it's safe to say that the two that we've talked most favorably with is MEA and actually Golden Valley.
Follow-up? Well, thank you very much, Mr. Thayer. One of the things that I've heard about net metering is that sometimes structures can be set up by which there are cost benefits to folks, certainly, who have solar panels and other, you know, generation facilities. But as a result of those facilities being employed by some users, other users don't have the ability to employ such facilities. In the case of Hawaii specifically, their first iteration of the net metering program saw significant cross-subsidization by people who did not have generation to people that did. What safeguards are there in the bill that would keep folks who don't have generation from paying more than folks who do?
Well, Mr. Chair, through that particular one, you know, I've looked at the Hawaiian model, Hawaii's model. It's different than our model because they have a lot more participants in their program and they have a lot more solar to sell within the system. We're very small, obviously, in Alaska and some, you know, in some parts of the rail belt, we don't have sun for a good portion of the wintertime. And so with ours, we're taking a little bit more cautious approach in doing that. And that's why we're at the ground floor of looking at how we do this. But again, one of the things that we're trying to be very careful with is that we don't have that cross-subsidization. And then that's the reason why the RCA has that overlook on the program to make sure that we don't have that, because that's what we don't want to have happen.
Most excellent. Thank you. Yep. Any further questions for Mr. Thayer? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we have with us by phone Mr. Connor Erickson. He is the Director of Planning with the Alaska Energy Authority. Mr. Erickson, thank you for joining us today. Do you have testimony that you would like to share?
To the chair, I do not at this time, and I will defer to the committee if they have any further questions on this.
Very good. So, Mr. Erickson, Ms. Julie Vogler, who was with us for the last hearing, as well as Jess Manowies, are all available on questions if we had any questions for them. I'll just make a statement, I guess, for the committee, and I know many utilities are interested in this bill, and they have some questions and I think are looking for opportunities for ways certainly to build out some alternative generation that's not burning gas, right? So, but I think what the struggle is how do they account for costs that are caused by alternative generation sources, specifically rooftop solar on homes or other types of things. And so utilities are taking a look at ways that we can build some other safeguards into the bill to prevent the cross-subsidization that we just talked about. So I think going forward, we'll take a look at some of those, and I'd like to, you know, have conversations between utilities, members of the RCA, and other interested parties. I see APA is represented in the room here today as well. It's Alaska Power Association. So we'll take a look at this. I know that this has been a piece of legislation that the governor has signaled of some importance, so we're happy to work on it for his administration, but certainly get to a place where it's going to work for people and result in lower cost energy for as many people as possible. So, okay. Did you have any further closing comments, Mr. Thayer?
No, I was just getting the next presentation up.
Perfect. We'll take a brief at ease while we set up for the next bill. Good afternoon. We're back on the record. It's 1:51 p.m. here in Belt's room 105. Back before us is the authoritative director of the Alaska Energy Authority, Curtis Thayer, to speak to us about Senate Bill 218. Welcome back, Mr. Thayer.
All right. Thank you very much. As far as 218, we've discussed this in the previous testimony, a little overview of AEA. And so going directly into Senate Bill 218, Tax Reform and Economic Impact for Electrical Co-ops, what this does is repeal a kilowatt tax that it was actually on the state books since 1959 and has not been touched since 1980. And what this does is eliminates the tax currently assessed on electric co-ops for each retail kilowatt sold. The direct rate reduction repeals the tax levied as a pass-through charged by electrical co-ops, resulting in indirect reduction to ratepayers. And then also it provides equal tax treatment and aligns our tax rules for our IPPs, or independent power producers, public utilities, and joint action agencies to ensure more equitable liability under state law. And it repeals the ad valorem tax levied on electric co-ops under the current statutes, expands the exemptions for new generations and storage facilities exempt from state or local ad valorem tax and exercise tax, including direct facility-to-customer arrangements. Imagine that we have a large customer, we have a powerhouse providing to a particular yard, large customer. Could be a data farm, could be a mine, could be something along those lines. And a unified approach, standardizing tax exemptions for both electrical generation and storage infrastructure. The fiscal impact of this, the total tax collected right now is $2.4 million. 89% is on the rail belt, with the rural electric co-ops in it at roughly $256,000. And then it has the refunded to municipalities and boroughs. The collected revenue is 2.3, with the state collections at about 50,000. The sectional analysis, it preserves the electric co-op exemption, amends the Alaska statute to explicitly preserve the existing exemptions afforded to electric co-ops from a state and local ad valorem and income tax. In Section 2, it refunds to local governments administrative measures amending AS 1025-570 to remove references to the repealed electric co-op tax from the local government refund procedures. In Section 3, it's a joint action agency to remove the requirement for joint action agencies to pay the now repealed cooperative tax. And then in Section 4, a generation and storage polarity exempts the electrical generation and storage facilities in service prior to 2024 from state local taxes, establishes equal treatment for the independent power producers, utilities, and agencies. And then in Section 5, it has the tax repeal in itself, and Section 5 is an effective date of July 1st, 2026. And again, this comes directly out of the Energy Task Force in one of their strategic policy actions, and that was to achieve a more equal and treatment and reduce liability resulting in direct reduction to the Alaska ratepayer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thayer. Any questions from committee members? Senator Gray Jackson and then Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your presentation, both of them, and thank you for meeting with me earlier this morning. And I have a question, and I'm sorry I didn't think of it when we were meeting earlier, but it's just, what's the average savings per household?
Actually, Madam, through the chair, I have to get back to you on that exact amount per household. I just don't have it off the top of my head. It's $2 million total for the rail belt, which isn't a lot, but let me get you that number.
And I'm just curious, but I don't mind you getting back to me.
No, it's a very fair question.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And sort of a similar question that you probably don't have the number at your fingertips, but so I'm trying to understand on slide 4 when it's talking about refunded municipalities and boroughs, that's how the state – that's how the tax is currently distributed, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so is there some backfill for municipalities from the state if we pass this bill? And what would be the total reduction in funds for the municipality of Anchorage?
Through the chair, I will get back to you on that exact number that would be by municipality. We lumped it together. Anchorage is roughly 56% of the rail belt.
Yep.
So that's roughly 56%, but I'll get you the exact numbers because there's some industrial customers and such that the most industrial customers are in Fairbanks. So let me get you that number.
Can I follow up, Mr. Chair?
Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But am I right in interpreting not the exact number, but sort of the direction? So this would probably be something on the order of $1 million reduction in state funding to Anchorage.
As currently written, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I have a question. Would policy like this extend to independent power producers or other folks who might lease generation to utilities?
Mr. Chair, currently in HB 307, the independent power producers do not pay tax. That was in that bill that was passed roughly 2 years ago. It was HB 307. And so this is just making it the same across the board with all the different across the board with all the taxpayers on a utility bill.
Thank you. Any further questions? Online, if anyone would like to ask questions, again, is Connor Erickson from the Alaska Energy Authority. And I think Brandon Spanos may be available at a future meeting if we wanted to ask specifically about the financial implications of the changes to the tax code. One other question. So I noticed that when this bill was introduced near the beginning of session, there was a lot of talk about other property tax changes specific to the AKLNG project. We haven't seen an AKLNG project tax bill forthcoming. Is it the hope of the administration that that would get included in something like this with a similar title, or do you have any insight on that?
Mr. Chair, I have no insight on the natural gas pipeline or when language might be forthcoming or a bill be forthcoming to the legislature. That was never part of our discussions with this piece of legislation.
Very good. Just curious. Yep. Thank you. Okay. With that, hearing and seeing no further questions, comments, objections, this concludes our business of the Labor and Commerce Committee today. The Labor and Commerce Committee will not likely meet again until Monday, and our agenda will be posted and distributed tomorrow. As there is no further business to come before the Labor and Commerce Committee today, we are adjourned at 1:59 p.m.